New Testament there. Colossians chapter 2. It's been good today, hasn't it been? Amen? Lord's Supper is always good. And extra cream on the top. Everything's good. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2 and verse 13 says this: "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," you had nothing going for you, "hath he quickened together with him," with Jesus, "having forgiven you," how many trespasses? All your sins, all the crossings of God's laws, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Aren't you glad? "Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way," where'd he put it? Nailing it to the cross. A very plain object lesson this morning. A familiar object is a nail. We're familiar with it because we use it to hang up things like pictures. And when we were younger, we used it to hang up clothes. Put a hat on it, stuff like that. Sometimes it would hold up quite a lot of weight. So it had to be well anchored. I remember many a nail when I was a young husband. And I thought, we'll just hang up the picture here and just put it in the wall and put the picture up there. And a little while later, the picture would come down because it wasn't well anchored. You know, technology really hasn't improved on the nail. This object is thousands of years old, and yet we still use nails for lots of things. And a lot can be learned from such a simple item as a nail. Especially since the Bible gives us a glimpse of just how powerful for us the nailing of Jesus to the cross was. Notice that verse. It says at the end of verse 14, it says all of those ordinances, those commandments, were contrary to us. We couldn't keep them. Somebody says, "I'm doing pretty good. I'm keeping the Ten Commandments." You can look at him right in the face and go, "You're a liar. You broke number seven." He says right here, he took it out of the way, and look at the words, "nailing it to the cross." Let me give you some background on some nails. Let's go to Luke 24, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 37. By the way, after the service is over, I'd like to talk with anybody who is interested about an office building we're looking at. And I forgot to talk to you. We're constantly looking for permanent premises, or at least larger and better premises or something. But I found some office premises. I want to get your feedback on it. If you can stay just for 10 minutes, I'll show you some pictures, get some discussion. Especially around here, property goes like that. So if we could discuss that, that'll be right after the message this morning. Luke chapter 24 and verse 37. 24:37. "But they were terrified." Is this the right one? 24. No, 23. Yeah, 23. The top of the Bible is said 24, but it's actually 23. Okay, 23:37. "Now we know this in saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And I'm not, that's still not the right place. I'm looking for, start back at verse 27. I'm not sure why I have the wrong verses written down. But look at verse 27. "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Jesus had carried most of the way. Simon's going to carry the last couple of dozen feet. "And there followed him a great company of people, of women, and of women, which bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves." He was not upset about what was happening. Everything was going according to plan. Verse 28. I'm back in 23:28 now. "But weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And then shall they begin to say to the mountains, when it gets really bad, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, when things are going well, what shall be done in the dry? Now here's the key verses. And there were also two others, malefactors, they were transgressors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on each side, one on the right hand, and one on the left. Now, background. Crucifixion was a torture that was invented by the Persians around 300 years before Christ. It was one of the most painful and excruciating forms of punishment leading to death ever conceived by a man for a man. No woman was ever crucified. So you can thank somebody for that. But it was meant to torture men. Now, if you trace the word, there's a unique word. You ever heard the word excruciating? It comes from the word crucifixion. It's a Latin word. Out of the crucifixion. So when you think of excruciating, think of Jesus. Contrary to popular opinion, the nails which held Jesus to the cross were not nailed into his palms. They were nailed into his wrists. Many great painters from the past have depicted Jesus being nailed through his palms onto the cross, but it is a medical impossibility that those nails could hold his body up. That's why on some of the crosses they actually have him tied up there and held up there, but the nails went into his wrist. Jesus' nails would have been made of heavy, square-shaped iron, 7 to 9 inches long. You really have to work. You may have to really work your mind to grasp the enormity of what was going on at the crucifixion. Here was a fully grown man being held up on a cross by a Roman nail spike. This type of a nail was made. They didn't use it for any other purpose. They made a very extra long nail. I mean, you don't need to go through unless maybe some very long boards. But they used these spikes primarily for the crucifixion. When Jesus got to the place of his execution, he was placed on his back with his arms outstretched. The nails were first driven through small wooden discs, what we would call a washer. So they would be first put through that wooden disc so that the flesh would not rip through the head of the nail. The site of the incision in the base of the wrist was critical. The Romans had perfected this procedure. They knew just the place. A Roman legionnaire who was given the task of nailing him would feel for a very specific spot, right in a little spot at the base of your wrist. And he would place that nail and drive it right through there. And there are all sorts of nerves and all sorts of veins and tendons. And the purpose of it was to not cut an artery, but to be right alongside the most tender and most amazingly important nerve fiber going through there, so that every movement would rub against that metal and it would bring excruciating pain. If the nails had been driven into the palms of his hands under the weight, they would have quickly ripped out through between the fingers. First, a nail would have been driven into his arm on the one side and then upon the other. And the legionnaire would make sure that his arms were not pulled too tight so that he would allow for movement. And then the cross was raised and dropped into a set hole into the ground. And at that point, all of the socket around his arms would go out of place. And talk about where you ever heard somebody, their arms have, you know, you have to put their arm back into socket and things like that. Well, our Lord's arms were broken. Now, none of his bones were broken, but the sockets and things were all out of place. What you're learning and what you're hearing about here is this crucifixion that we forget about. And that it's a good time at the Lord's Supper to be reminded of this. The third nail, now you got two nails, one more nail was used. And that third nail was used at the feet. And this is an amazing thing. In the hand, there's a spot right here next to a nerve ending. And where all of these bones and everything are strong enough to support one arm with a nail through there could support your whole body right through there. There's enough tendons is a very strong, one of the strongest points in your body. So the nail would go right in the middle of this circle, right there. When it came to his feet, an unusual thing, and you don't usually see it. Sometimes you see it where the nail is going right through both of the feet, and he's kind of like this, and it was not possible there. There is a very strong tendon called the Achilles tendon. And there is an empty space just between that, and these muscles are some of the strongest muscles in your body. And the nail for his feet would have been turned outward and then driven through the two of them, and he would have to push up and pull himself up and push down and pull up and push down. A very uncomfortable, it was meant to torture. It was not meant for comfort or for his health. So here you have that nail, that final nail. The method that the Romans had perfected ensured that the crucifixion victims would hang painfully until their diaphragm, their ability to breathe, would finally go into a spasm and they literally would not have enough strength to pull themselves to breathe anymore and they would suffocate. I want to talk this morning about these nails. Because Jesus paid a price for our sins, and it was not paid just through the rough wood that he was laid upon. It was not paid through the beatings and the whippings or even the cruel mockery of the crowd at the foot of his cross. But the price of our salvation, the price of my forgiveness, was paid through these nails. And I want to learn from these nails. Father, you gave me this thought, and now you need to help me give it out and make it so that we're never the same. Lord, bless the understanding of your word this morning. Change some lives. Change and break through some hard hearts. God, fix some broken things. Mend some things. Do what only a nail can do for us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll be surprised, but I need you to go to Isaiah. But Jesus has predicted that he's going to experience nails several times in the Bible. But I get to find Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 20. Isaiah 22. If you find the middle of your Bible, you find Psalms. Go to the right several books and you'll find Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 20. Let me just read it and then we'll recap it because there's a unique prophecy contained in here. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with a robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. He'll be a leader. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Here's a nobody. This is just a servant, but he's made ruler. And none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Isn't that amazing? And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. The offspring and the issue, the children, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in a sure place be removed and be cut down and fall. And the burden that was upon it, thankfully, shall be cut off. For the Lord has spoken it. And what are we looking at? This is a rough time in Israel history. You come. This is a time when Hezekiah is king, and Hezekiah is not a good enough picture of a coming Messiah. So God says, I'm going to show you a servant who's going to picture and going to illustrate a future event, and it's going to be a victory that nobody could have ever imagined, and the method nobody ever would have imagined. Eliakim is a type of the Messiah. He is promised future victory over his enemies. If you can get the picture here, the city of Jerusalem is surrounded, is besieged by an Assyrian army. Several hundred thousand men have come from a faraway kingdom called Assyria. Nineveh was the capital of that kingdom. Remember, Jonah went to the Ninevites several hundred years later and preached and they got right. But at this point, they're enemies. And they've surrounded Jerusalem. Jerusalem hasn't been able to go in or out. They're starving. As a matter of fact, Hezekiah was walking around one afternoon and he heard two women fighting over a dead baby, fighting who was going to eat him because he was starving. And you say, how can that be? You've never been that hungry. There weren't even roots to pull up and eat. They were starving. And here was Hezekiah. He had no idea what to do. He had no idea how to get this victory. And God says, I'll show you how to have the victory. He promises a future victory over all armies in the future. Not any army, but the victory is going to be through somebody like Eliakim being fastened as a nail in a sure place. Everything is going to hang on this Messiah. You ever heard of everything hangs on this event? You ever heard that before? That comes right out of your Bible. You know all our good phrases we use, by the skin of our teeth, right from the book of Job. All the great phrases that we use in modern 21st century Western Europe come right from the Bible. But everything's going to hang on the Messiah. But this is the truth. There will come a day when the nail will be cut off. He'll be put in a sure place and left there. And then it will fall. And there will be no more need for it. And this is how God was going to bring a victory. A nail will die. And everything hanging on him will die with them. Everything that gets crucified dies. Would you agree with that? Oh man. If you could just get this concept. Here's a verse. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Now, if I'm to live the crucified life, what does that mean? Some part of me needs to die. Now, not the flesh. Only that will die, and that'll be a blessing. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. It only gets better for the Christian, amen? But there's everything that gets crucified dies. And you say, well, how does that bring a victory? Ah, the victory comes through a substitutionary death. Somebody dying so that you can live. He, Jesus, became as a nail. Let me talk about these nails. I have a thought here. I'm debating on whether to say it, but I'm going to say it. You probably won't get it, but I'll enjoy it anyway. Everything that goes on the cross dies. If that's true, what's the hope? All right. What the hope is that everything, every one of my problems, every one of my sorrows, every one of the things that get me upset, if I can put it on that cross and let it die, you think, good, I'll be free from it. No. I want you to understand. When Jesus died on that cross, did he stay dead? Not in your life. So When we're called to take up our cross, when we're told to look to the cross, when we're told to glory in the cross, we're not glorying in a death instrument. We're glorying in something, yes, that does bring about death. But what remains after something dies is the resurrection. Is something that is eternal. And whatever you have that is plaguing and is pulling you and destroying you, if you could just... And we're not talking about physically. We don't need to go to Jerusalem. We don't need to get us a real spike and a real hammer. We're talking about spiritually taking your burden, taking your sin, and putting it on the cross and leaving it there. God nailed every one of my sins there. If he did that, all that's left is eternal. Everything that Jesus, when he came up out of the grave, when he died, let me just say it this way. When he died, he took all our sins upon him, didn't he? And when he died, he took all our sins to hell and dumped them in there. But when he rose, now he didn't go to hell, he just dumped them in hell. But as soon as he got up, did he have any more sin? No, he rose, he was without sin. It was gone. And wouldn't it be nice to take your problem, take your enemy, take your burden, and put it on the cross and have something beautiful come out of it? Amen? That's what we're talking about. And it goes through a process called crucifixion. Okay, see if I can help you understand six real quick thoughts. First of all, go to Psalm 22. I want to talk to you about the power of a nail. Psalm 22. Psalms in the middle of your Bible again. Just find the middle, and you should hit Psalms and then find chapter 22. When you found that, also find a book almost to Matthew. Is a little book called Zechariah. Z-E-C-H. A-R-I-A-H. Zechariah chapter 12. Show you something amazing. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 in verse 16. Look at your Bible. Psalm 22. If you look in verse 14, this is all about Jesus. Look in verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Guess who quotes that on the cross? Jesus does. Run down there to verse 13. They gapped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. I'm drained, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clingeth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. Dogs being the Pharisees and all the people at the bottom of this cross. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. There you go. Run over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will, this is God speaking, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. It's prayer. And they shall look upon me whom they have. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for God's only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Somebody got pierced. Amen. Now I just want you to understand that nail, first of all, for you to understand, is not an object that you put up like a trophy. First thing that a nail is good for is for piercing. That's for piercing. This modern day that we've got, everybody's got everything being pierced. Absolutely an abomination to God. God did not say for your body to be pierced through, tattooed, marked up any more than you would want somebody coming and marking all over the outside of your house or breaking through your walls. Your body belongs to God. He made it beautiful. You do not need anything to pierce through it. When Jesus Christ was pierced, it was not a beauty piercing. Amen? But nails pierce. Nails pierce. It breaks through what otherwise would not be considered, what otherwise would be considered too hard to work with. You ever work with somebody and they were so hard you couldn't get through to them? You ever talk to somebody and there's just no talking to them? You know what? Those nails, they broke through every one of your hard cases. It broke through me. My mom gave up. My dad gave up. My friends would give up trying to deal with me, trying to correct me, trying to help me. No, I was my own guy. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to be stupid if I want to be. Until I heard about some nails. And somebody slamming some nails into some flesh broke through me. Amen? You see, we don't just preach a sweet gospel. Right. The offense of the cross, it makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Amen? It cuts. It pierces. What the Bible says, the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing all the way down, even to my thoughts and the intentions of my heart. It cuts me to pieces. That nail put into Jesus Christ breaks through some hard things. Did you know nails, they have concrete nails. They're nails that will go straight through concrete. Isn't that wonderful? These nails will go through anybody. And they don't. Thankfully, I'm not the nail bringer, amen? I'm not going to put it through anything. But the nails that went through Jesus Christ's hands and his feet were meant to get through to you. Amen? Do you understand that? Usually, nails were meant to go through the tough outer layers of wood and concrete, but on that dark Wednesday morning, the day before Passover, three nails were used to pierce through two unusual substances. Through the hands and the feet of Jesus, and through my heart. Those nails weren't only to cut through the life of Jesus Christ. They were to cut through me. Ever since I learned about Jesus Christ, I didn't just learn about His teachings. I didn't just learn about His healings. I learned about His death on the cross. And that's That's what got through to me, amen? Do you understand? If you want somebody to really understand what it means to be a Christian, you must begin with the cross. They've got to understand, that was for you. You deserve to be up there. But He took your place, and it hurt. A nail does not just prick through the surface like a staple would. How many of you have ever stapled yourself? Man. But you can quickly pull it back out, and you got pain there for a couple of days. But it didn't go all the way through, did it? That thing was meant to go all the way through. You know why a lot of people... Celine, I'll pick on you for a second. Do you know why a lot of people never really get going to the Christian life? Because they never let those nails cut all the way through all the chase, all the hardness, all the past. If you just take a moment and let those nails that did pierce and go all the way through the life of Jesus Christ, all the way through His wrists, through both of His feet, they went all the way through. Let it go all the way through your thoughts. You got stuff, you got secrets, man. If your mom ever found out about you, she'd kill you. Even if she, amen? God already knows about them. Let that nail drive them onto the cross. Amen. That the power of a nail is it pierces. It pierces through. Let me quickly go to the next point. Secondly, it fastens some things into place. Just go to Isaiah 41. Go back a few chapters again to Isaiah. I go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah would be fun to do a different book. Jeremiah 10. You need a good test to find out if you know where your pages are in your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 10. Both of these verses basically say the same thing. I love this. Chapter 10 and verse 4. I just sat down. The Lord impressed on me about getting ready for the Lord's Supper and thinking about the nails just came to me. Especially there in Colossians 2. We read it. He took those things that were damning me and He nailed them to the cross. Whew. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 4. They deck it with silver and with gold. Now, they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. You know what a nail does? It fastens some things into place. Once something's been nailed down, Brother Leo, isn't this true? When something's been nailed down, it shouldn't be able to move anymore, should it? Nope. That makes a nail good for two purposes. One, it fixes things that were broken. I've had some, I didn't have experience, but I had some friends who had the experience of learning how to drive. And they were trying to park their car in their car park. And they hit the side of their house. And you know, well, what do you do? Pull out the nails, pull out the hammer, get some more wood. That and those nails can fix what's broken, amen? Aren't you glad for nails that can put things back in place that were broken? And thankfully, nails are good also for holding things in place so they don't break anymore, amen? That's why they use nails. You know, a lot of people, I forgot to bring my duct tape. You know what duct tape is, don't you? Anybody know what it is? It's spelled D-U-C-T. It's not D-U-C-K, quack, duck. It's D-U-C-T. Ducting tape is what it's called. It's silver tape. It's ribbed. It's really tough. But a lot of people use duct tape to try to hold things together, to fix things. God used nails to fix things. Isn't that wonderful? Some people use super glue. I found out that half the time super glue won't work. You ever notice that? Able to hold. You know, here this guy's got a hat on. What's glued his hat onto his head, I don't know. And he's sticking there and he's glued to this beam and he's, you know, just, he's held up there. I've never seen that work for anything I've ever tried before except my fingers. You know, you get it glued. Super glue, duct tape. I don't know what people use to try to hold things together, but God used nails to fasten something into place. When nails were used to hold Jesus in place, it was to hold Him on that cross. Not only until He died, but listen to this, but also until every sin and every problem that I may ever have also would die. I want you to understand this. Why did it take so long for Jesus to die? Why did He hang on that cross? What was going on? Everything that was ever possible to come between you and God. Let me go even further. Everything that was possible to come between you and each other was waiting to die on that cross. Well, you don't know what He said. Doesn't matter. It was nailed to the cross. Well, you don't know what he did. Doesn't matter. He was nailed to the cross and is dead. When those nails were put into Jesus' hands and into his feet, he was meant to keep them there. Do you understand? He was meant to hold them there, and he will. If you will take this thing, and it's a mental decision, it is a spiritual request of God, and that is, God, I want to take this problem. I wish I could kill this person, but I can't. So I'll take the problem between us, and I will put it on the cross, and I'll leave it there till it dies. Amen. Not the person. Aren't you glad people don't have to die for your problem to go away? Amen? Amen. Tony, you've gotten out of the rat poison business, haven't you? Amen. How many people died in his black book of problems against him? No. A nail will fasten some things into place. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything that is messed up and broken in our lives could be finally nailed down, so to speak? Isn't that a good phrase? Nailed down. So they could be fixed. All our marriages, I believe, need a good nail to hold us together. Amen. Amen. I heard two amens out of that. All the promises that we make so flippantly need a good nail to hold us to them. Amen. You make a promise, you need to keep that promise, because a nail held Jesus to keep a promise between God and us. And he put that nail there to say that whatever is hard for you, it was harder for him, put your promise on the cross and let it stay there till it's accomplished. All of our problems need a good nail to hold them to the cross until those problems die. And they will die if we'll quit taking them down. You know, a lot of us do. But thankfully, this hammer won't do it. But a lot of us will hammer something and say, all right, I've given it to the Lord. I've put my problem on the cross. When nobody's looking. I love my problems. That's us, man. But when they put those nails into his hand, and they drove that in there, they did not intend to pull it out. Now, thankfully, they did. But when? When they knew he was dead. When they knew he was dead. Whew. Don't you dare. You give a problem to the Lord, leave it there. Amen? There's a spiritual element to this message. I hope you're getting it. It's not about, you know, this wood and this nail here. It was about one cross and three nails 2,000 years ago. Third thing, a nail forges two or more things together into one unit. Look at Ephesians 2. Go to the right, find the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, I didn't do it. I wasn't going to bring another board in here. But I could take this board just as easily, and if you got a concrete wall, I could lay this board up here, and what could that nail do that no glue could really do? It could fasten that board to concrete, couldn't it? Board, wood, and concrete? Yeah. Nails can bring different things together, amen? How about God and a sinner? Those are two opposites, aren't they? And a nail, put in a sure place, firmly secure, can put two opposites and glue them together. Isn't that wonderful? It can take a bunch of different cultures and nail them together in the church. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I've got my opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to be wrong. But God puts us together, doesn't He? Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time, talking about us, ye were without Christ. There was a time, I was 17 when I finally got Christ. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh, close, by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Two different individuals, now into one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished, removed in his flesh the enmity, the warfare, the conflict, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. All of that was against us. For to make in himself now of two different people, one new man, so making peace. Watch verse 16. And that he might reconcile both now unto God in one body, the church, by the cross, having slain the enmity. What was Jesus, when he was having those nails put into his hands and to his feet, what was also dying? Not just sin. You're right, but let's go look at those words. The enmity between us and God, the conflict between us and God. Every time, you know, it said there, we won't go back there in Isaiah 22 when it talked about Eliakim being as a nail. It says, and God will fasten him in a sure place. All those Romans, they thought they were showing Jesus who was boss. They raised those mallets there and they held that spike over there. And they got ready and they waited for him to flinch and he didn't flinch. You know I'm about to crucify you. And Jesus didn't say a thing. And as they drove it in, they waited for him to scream and he didn't scream. Guess who was really behind the driving in of those nails that Jesus was yielding to? Amen. God the Father. Amen. Why would God the Father do that to his Son? Do you understand this? It was he doing it to his only begotten Son so that all the wrath that you and I deserve was poured out on him so he would never have to be angry with me again. Never be angry with me again. It forges two things together. Now, when I go to God, I say, God, I have sinned. I've done it. Oh, God, I did it again. I hate myself. I hate what I do. Oh, God, I know you're going to kill me. He ought to. But you know what? It's paid for.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank God.
Where was it paid for? On the cross. It put you two together. Now, God may have to spank your bottom. Give you a good kick, amen? But He's not going to condemn you. He's forgiven us how many of our transgressions? All our transgressions. I could just go forever on these things, but I just... Let me give you some thoughts. Fourth. Well, go to Acts chapter 20. Go left, go to Acts chapter 20. A nail finalizes. Now, this was an interesting thought. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Quickly. Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Pay close attention. Watch yourselves. And to all the flock, talking to pastors, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath already, this is something that's already done, hath purchased again with his own blood. Now I want you to understand something about these nails. Now, Leo, correct me if I'm wrong. Once you've nailed something, and you nail it securely, you shouldn't have to worry about it anymore, should you? Isn't that true? The work is done. When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, all the works necessary for you to please God, all the works necessary for you to get forgiven, were done. It finalizes. We're not talking about screws here. Now, I use a lot of screws. You know why? Because I don't know what I'm doing. That was the wrong side, Dad. And I take the screws out, amen? Now, don't laugh. You do it too, amen? But when you nail it, you decide that's it, don't you? It's staying there. It is meant to be final. Amen? Aren't you glad God used nails and not screws? Amen? He meant it to be final. Once the nails went into Christ's hands and his feet, it meant that we can now go on and build our lives on what he did. I don't have to add to it. I've seen those poor souls over there in the Philippines. There at Easter time. Dozens of them. Not only remembering the cross, but reenacting and allowing them to be themselves to be crucified again. And they're not doing it for show. Some of them may be doing it for show, but some of them really think they're helping pay for their own sins. And I could only wish I could get to them and say, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's finished. That doesn't impress God anymore. What God wants you to do is to believe and now live. You know, without the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, no one, absolutely no one, could ever go forward. Many of you have problems going forward in your life because you have some things that have never been nailed down. say it this way. We've never turned the page. We've never been able to close the book on something. You understand what that's talking about? We've never been able to finish something. Now every builder in this room who's ever built, been in construction, you know, you can build other people's houses, you'll build wardrobes, you'll build cabinets, but your own house is never finished. Isn't that true? It's a curse, amen? It's just that way. But here's the truth. In a lot of ways, you may be able to help somebody, Timmy. You may be able to be a blessing to somebody, but it's a shame if you yourself have never nailed some things down and left them and said, it's finished. It's finalized. I don't have to bear that burden anymore. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fear for it. It's done. Because the devil loves to bring up your past. I mean, all you have to do is start praying, and then 15 things start showing through your mind like meteors, and you go, where'd that come? Whoa, and the devil comes up and says, yeah, now try and pray. Yeah. You just tell the devil, go to hell. I got work to do. Shut up. He's listening. I'm not listening to you anymore. Father, thank you for the blood. Do you understand? This thing finished something. Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. I want that Fanta. I really don't, but I'm going to pretend like I do. How much you want for it?
€3.
I don't have €3. Will you take 30 cents? I got 40 cents. Okay. All right. How much do you want for it?
40
cents. 40 cents. You sure? Okay. Now, if you ask for it back, I'm punching him. Because I bought it. The transaction was finished. I got it, didn't I? Now, I wish I got his wallet. But when Jesus Christ purchased me, it was a done deal. There's no more purchasing that needs to be done. Alright? He shows up and says, oh, that'll be 10 cents more. That'll be a euro more. I want a €3. Sounds like an Irish businessman. Thank you very much. Jesus didn't pay a small amount for our sin, by the way, and for our soul, did He? He paid the highest price imaginable, but He paid it in full. I want you to understand, just by those simple nails, oh, you are a good lad. Amen. It's going to change my message. Thou shalt not steal. No. It finalizes. Your sins may still haunt you. You know what the problem is? They're still on you instead of on the cross. Your fears still make it so that you can't sleep at night? They need to be put on the cross. You know what? The most powerful force in this universe is the truth about the cross. You don't need a crucifix. You don't need a picture. You need a reality of what happened and just trust that God, who spans all time, is waiting to take your sin and put it back on the cross. He can do that. And you can walk free. Isn't that wonderful? It's finalized. In the Old Testament, in almost all religions, there is a constant remembrance of sins and failures. But not with the cross. There's no more remembrance of sin. Isn't that wonderful? What was accomplished on the cross with the help of those nails was our full pardon, our redemption, and our complete forgiveness. And it's final. I like that. And the nail supports some things. Go to the right. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 5, in verse 7. We are almost done. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 7. Now you might understand. Now I've... Keep you awake, amen. Alright, let's see. I need somebody lightweight. Who's frail and small? Go away from me, you. Oh, let's see. Josh was trying to hide. I don't know. It's pretty dirty. I better not. I'm going to hang somebody up here on their nap of their neck. Or maybe on their trousers. Maybe I could do it that way, maybe. I don't know. You know what a nail is meant to do? It's meant to support some things. I've been in... When I got here... Ireland was a different place 13 years ago. You go into a house and along the inside, there are some pegs in the wall for hanging up your coat. Those pegs are a holdover from years ago where they were just nails. Poor people know what they got to do. You got to have coats hanging up, so they would put some spikes into the wall, and they were there, and they looked nice. Now we go, how terrible, but it was needed, amen? Let's go to 1 Peter 5:7 and look at what can support you. Casting how much of your care? You ever seen these guys? You got a coat rack there. The guy takes off his hat and he throws it onto the coat, onto the hat rack, you know. And then he takes his jacket and like, when it goes and hangs right on there, you know. You know what that person needs to do? He needs to throw his sins onto a nail. You know what's neat about that nail? It not only will hold your sins, according to Isaiah 53, it says he took our sorrows on him, but he'll take one more thing. He'll take you. You say, I'm too wiped out, Lord. I'm too fried. I can't go another step further. You know what the Lord will do? He says, all right, I'll carry you. You can cast everything on him. Amen? That nail will hold you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? That is revolutionary. The power of those nails, three of them, through the body of Jesus Christ, through that perfect sacrifice, just to show us illustration that we can cast all our care upon Him. And it's not that He's just waiting to be a floor mat, waiting to be abused. No, because He cares for you. Why did He go through all that? Why did He willingly lay His arms down? Why did He willingly turn His feet and prepare for the cross? Why did He willingly tell His disciples, I'm not going to Jerusalem to reign. I'm going to Jerusalem where the scribes and the Pharisees will accuse me. They will beat me. They will mock me. And then they will crucify me. Why did He go through all that? Because He loved us. I've never known such love. And the proof of that love was a slamming of those nails through His arms and through His hands and His feet. Nails will hold boards going in all directions, but when securely fitted, it'll hold a structure very high and very secure. That's amazing to me. Nails in a wall can hold up pictures and can even hold up a person when you're really upset. That was a joke. Aren't you glad that Jesus, the nail, can hold up the sins of the whole world? And when He died, and it says when He's cut off, everything that was hanging on Him also fell too. And this is a great truth. It said there, and I wish we could spend an hour just in Isaiah 22. It said, and the glory of the kingdom hung on Him. You see, if Jesus failed, all of God's plans failed. God didn't go, okay, well, Jesus, your plan B, and so-and-so, your plan C, and church, your plan D. If He fails, then we'll go to the... No. Everything rested on Jesus. And it came through. Amen? That's why I worship Him. Nobody ever stayed that faithful with me. He supports. Lastly, one last quick point. A nail will free the builder. Let's look at Hebrews 9. You're in 1 Peter, go back to the left. Hebrews chapter 9, two scriptures, and then back to Colossians where we started. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, He didn't come in using that blood, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats under the Old Testament, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying the flesh, if that could purify your outer flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, how much more shall it purge your conscience? Isn't that wonderful? From dead works to serve the living God. You know what it does? Hidden all around us are nails, holding things together, making it possible to meet in this building without fear. Without nails, everything we build is just a deck of cards. How many of you, when you were younger, tried to build those layers of houses with the cards? You ever done that? You know, you'd stack the cards up and you'd make up maybe three layers, maybe four. And then the slightest debris, somebody would sneeze all the way across the room. And you went, and then, everything we build without those nails is like that deck of cards, amen? Everything you build without Christ in the center of your life is as a deck of cards. You say, well, I'm using lots of duct tape, Brother Ledbetter. I use lots of super glue. I use a lot of psychological self-help books. I use a lot of Oprah Winfrey advice. I use a lot of... I don't care what you think you're using. It's a deck of cards without those nails. Yeah. Amen. That's why everything that we have, everything that we are, should be an extension of the cross. Go to... let me take you to two of them. Go to Galatians chapter 6. And then Colossians chapter 2. I've had you go through lots of scripture this morning, but it's been good for you. We'll go to Galatians 6 and then Colossians 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're all together there. Quickly, Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Listen to these words. But God forbid. Oh, let God stop it. That I should glory. Are you with me? Galatians 6:14. That I should glory, that I should get excited, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me. What a great thought. Because of the cross, the world is dead. Look at it. And I unto the world. The cross did something to me, folks. Those nail-pierced hands that stood there before Thomas. Thomas said, I saw them nail those nails into his hands and his feet. I saw them pierce his side. I cannot believe until I see those scars. When he did see them, changed his life, didn't he? You don't have to see them now. You have enough proof to know he's alive. And those nail-pierced hands were for you to live differently now. You don't need to live in fear that all your stuff's going to come back and haunt you. You don't need to live in fear that your life you're going to miss out on things in life. You know what? A Christian that builds their life on the cross, lives their life glorying in nothing should excite you more than the cross. You know, I'll say, well, I'm excited about heaven. Yeah, I'm excited about heaven, but I know how come I'm going there. Because of the cross. The cross is greater than heaven. Do you understand? It's that much more valuable. So, it frees the builder. Once he has nailed that thing, he can walk away. If he's built a house, he has securely nailed those beams, he can go in that house and not worry about it falling down on him. Amen? You're not in a religion, folks. You're in Christ. Do you understand? This is not about, well, we believe this, we believe that. You got to have some beliefs. Everybody believes something. But you need Christ. You need to realize the superstructure of the Christian life is fixed, finalized, it is secure. You can live now. Amen? This thing's not about what you have to do in order to be a Christian. You know what you have to do to be a Christian? Follow Jesus. Live. Don't carry this stuff from the past. My past died on the 15th of June, 1980. Hallelujah. Guess what? My future also died. Right. You know what I am? I am, to this day, still crucified with Christ. I just love being close to Him. A builder would be a very sad builder if he had to constantly keep propping up his roof and the ceilings and the walls. Amen? It's nice to nail some things and be finished. And be free. Jesus makes a person free to live now. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Romans is our last scripture. Romans chapter 6, to the left. The power of a nail. Romans chapter 6. Knowing all that will help you understand these verses. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Who's he talking to? Romans chapter 6 verse 1. He's talking to everybody. Shall we continue in sin? Oh, God's got a lot of grace, but should we do it that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are, what's the next three words? Dead to sin, live any longer therein. Go to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, what happened to him? Amen. That's not your dad he's talking away about, by the way. That our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be, aren't you gloriously excited, destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sins. For he that is dead, what did he become? Free. Freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, how many of you are dead this morning physically? Anybody in this room? Okay, good. We're all okay. We got one back there who's not sure. We have a treatment plan for you back there. Okay. look at what it says. This is not physical dead. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing His resurrection. Whew. What part of me died when I let Jesus take it to the cross with Him when He died? What part of me died? The old man. Now, another day I'll spend a whole hour on just the old man. It'll be a very depressing message. Just understand this. He's gone. You say, I still got problems with him. You got problems with a stinking corpse. That's what you got a problem with. All I'm going to tell you to do is quit digging him up. Leave him buried. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A few thoughts here. The power of a nail. It can pierce through your hardness. It can pierce through every sin that you've ever faced. I don't care how secret your sin is. That nail will cut all the way through. If you just, it's the truth. Paul said, 1 Corinthians won't go there. It says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the cross. Because those nails, when you learn about what they did, those whips, that cross, everything that happened breaks us, amen? It can fix whatever was broken. You got a broken relationship? You got a broken heart? There's something there that can mend it. It's a nail. Well, that'll hurt. Oh, but it heals. It can bring together the worst of enemies. Well, I don't want to be together. But we got to work on that. But it can do it. Amen? It can finish the job. Those nails can finish what no other religion, what no other good works, no what other person, no prayer could do, no nothing could do, only those nails could do. It can hold up whatever you put on it. You see, I got some pretty heavy burdens. He can carry the whole world. Would you let Him have your burden this morning? And He can free you to live. A lot of people are living from pill to pill, from depression to depression, from anger to anger, from bitterness to bitterness, from day to day wishing they could escape. And you know what? There's a nail that can make you free. We're speaking about the nails of the cross. Right in here, you need those nails. Not physical ones. I got one of them. I came across somebody who let me take one, and I said, I'm going to use that one of these days many years ago, and there I've got it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wrap it up, I'm going to put it away, and I won't look at it again for several years. That nail may be a reminder, but I'm not going to worship it. I'm not going to put a little red light underneath it. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to let it change me. Will you let it change you this morning? You need those nails. The ones that were hammered into somebody's flesh 2,000 years ago will do you just fine. Do you just fine. Do you just fine. You need them to free you. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free." Talking about Himself, Jesus. You'll be free indeed. Yet to fasten you, you need them to not only free you, but also to lock you into this new life. Wouldn't it be nice if you could, like we talked about last week, we talked about yoked together with Christ. Amen? Well, I found a nail that'll stick us closer than a brother. Amen? I found a nail that'll put me right up there with Christ and keep me locked in. And it'll help me fix everything that is broken. The cross. Oops, sorry. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, a lot of stuff we covered today, and everybody's been very patient with me, but it's not me they needed to hear this morning. God, we have learned about a nail, several nails. I did my best. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, please bring back to remembrance these great truths and not only prick our hearts, but pierce them all the way through. Our minds are so numb and so toughened. Our hearts are so calloused. Our lives are so far away. Lord, when you stretch out those hands, you are Almighty God. And every thought you thought was for us. With our names, our sins, you did it because you love us. How could anybody go away without accepting the free gift that He purchased on the cross? It was His blood shed. It was His life broken. It was His whole plan. We have nothing to add. All we can do is accept. And in this room, maybe several need to get born again. Need to understand that our own goodness, our own good works can't compete. We've never been nailed. Even if we were, it couldn't compete. We're still sinners. We can't even pay off our own sins, much less the sins of anybody else. Your Son did it for everyone. How could we try and do it any other way? With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you, if you are, if you're born again, if there was a time, a day, that you knew that you were a sinner, and you asked Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, who died on that cross, if you asked Him to save your lost soul, if there was a day, I'm not talking about a guess, but a true time and a place where you said, God, I'm lost, please save my soul. If that is true, just put your hand up, put it down. It's not necessarily for me, it's between you and God. If you know you're saved, amen, you can put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, will you be courageous enough to just put it up and put it down and let me pray for you? If you're not sure you're saved, just put it up, put it down. You can do it. Anybody in this room, say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anybody be honest enough to say, those nail-scarred hands, I know they were for me, but I've never accepted. I never have gotten this thing called eternal life. I've just got my own stinking life, and it's something I wish I could get rid of. Let me tell you, you can get eternal life this morning. Jesus died for sinners. He died a horrible death because that's the price of our sin. Will you let Him save your soul? Anybody here? Anybody? Then let's pray. Father, never let us forget, even when we're working on hammer and nails and working on buildings and things, let us remember what really happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. Let us remember those nails are what give us stability. That remind us of the blood that was shed so that we could live. To be a Christian is to follow a risen Savior who died. He just didn't live a good life and teach some good things. He was crucified. And that's the greatest thing. It's the opposite of what the world wants to hear, but it's the greatest thing. To the world is foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. May we just glory in it and rejoice in it. And whenever the devil comes along and tries to pull us down, I pray there's a nail visible that just shows that we're stuck with Jesus. And all our problems, all our burdens, Lord, don't let us ever, ever, ever think we can carry them again. Only that nail can carry them. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this day. Bless as we go home, we dedicate, just as we get ready to sing, please, we dedicate every thought to Jesus. We pray, amen, amen. Grab your hymnal, please. I can find one.